we may need to change something. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Are you satisfied with how you're learning English? Are you having fun? That's an important issue that we should address because it's important to your success. For many people, their enjoyment of learning language correlates with their success. That is, if it's going well and they're making progress that they can perceive, the enjoyment factor goes way up. If people are working hard but not seeing much return on their investment, then that tends to make the experience more negative. Now, we are learning English on this channel with comprehensible input. And it turns out that the key to success is hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight means that something is visible but frequently goes unnoticed. What I'm talking about that is hidden in plain sight, that is the key to your success, is the word comprehensible. It's right in the description of what we're doing. In order for comprehensible input to work for you and be enjoyable, it needs to be comprehensible. Let's compare most people's experience trying to learn language by traditional methods versus people using comprehensible input to learn a language. These are very different experiences. Schools tend to use traditional methods. Traditional methods are available to you online by a variety of sources. With traditional methods, the learner is forced to memorize long lists of vocabulary and memorize extensive rules, grammar rules. Basically, with traditional methods, you're studying the structure of the language, not acquiring the language. The experience for the language learner using traditional methods is that at the very beginning, it's relatively easy. It's easy because what you're learning at the very beginning amounts to the low-hanging fruit. Now, there's an expression for you. Low-hanging fruit is a metaphorical expression that you hear all the time in English, and that is the easy-to-acquire goals. So with traditional methods, you learn the name of a ball, or a boy, or a man, or a dog. You learn the basic, simple vocabulary, and it's fairly easy to acquire. Then, over time, because of the complexity of English, it gets progressively harder and harder, and people get very disheartened when they realize what a big job it is to memorize that many words, that many phrases, and that many grammar rules. It gets kind of depressing when you realize that this is a huge task and you might not be up to it. This is how traditional methods come unraveled. They fail because they don't serve the learner very well. Now let's compare to the experience that one gets with comprehensible input. It's the opposite. In the very beginning, comprehensible input is difficult because when you're new to a language, you don't know any words. And it's hard to get a grip on the language. It's hard to find content that is easy to understand. But with time and contact with the language, you start picking up patterns. Your brain starts bringing in the vocabulary and noticing the grammar, noticing the patterns. And what happens with comprehensible input is that it is very hard at the very beginning, but it gets easier and easier with the passage of time. So now that I've described these two experiences and how they unfold, how do they feel? Well, with traditional methods, it is as if we are going up a hill that is forever getting steeper. With comprehensible input, we see the snowball effect. Now, snowball effect is a wonderful expression that you will hear. To understand it, you have to understand a little bit about snowballs when they roll down a slope. So if a snowball is rolling down a slope, a snowy slope, they tend to gather more snow. They gather rocks, they gather sticks, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. This growth of the snowball gives it more momentum. More progress down the hill is seen as the snowball gets bigger and bigger. We use the word snowball effect when we describe a self-perpetuating process that seems to accelerate. It's a good metaphor, isn't it? Snowball effect. The sensation of climbing a hill that is forever getting steeper is why most of us don't enjoy studying languages by traditional methods. The snowball effect, when you see it, is what will pretty much guarantee your enjoyment, because you see progress with time. It gets faster. It gets easier. So we have chosen comprehensible input, and ideally it works through this snowball effect, but some people have problems still not being satisfied. I have 6 points to share with you that will help you avoid dissatisfaction with comprehensible input. These are the things that you might want to change that I mentioned at the very beginning. Number one, very little input per day or very inconsistent input. If for whatever reason, the amount of input you get per day, per week, per month is very small, you won't perceive progress. You won't notice any progress. And that may contribute to dissatisfaction. The solution is to increase the amount of input you get per day and strive for being consistent. Now, this isn't me bossing you around. This is me suggesting something that will help you if you'd like to make more progress. Number two, poor input choices. If you're using input that is really just traditional methods with vocabulary lists and grammar rules labeled as comprehensible input, then your satisfaction is likely to be quite low. If, on the other hand, you can find input that is interesting to you, comprehensible by you, that is, you can understand it, and something that captivates your imagination so that you will stay focused on the story or the discussion, then you've got a winning combination. That's the sweet spot where comprehensible input works great. So if you're not satisfied with your progress, you might look at the nature of the input you are getting. If you can't understand it readily, then find easier content. If you're not interested in the subject matter, find more interesting content. And if the content doesn't captivate your imagination and keep your mind on the story or the discussion, then you might select different content. Number three, unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations are fed to us by other people on the internet and on YouTube. There are many references suggesting that you can get fluent in 30 days or fluent in 90 days with no effort. And of course, that's just a lie. It's just nonsense. There is no scheme to rapidly become fluent in a language. It doesn't work that way. So we want to keep our expectations realistic. The trouble with that is I can't give you a formula so that you can accurately structure your expectations. We do know that if you're coming to English from a European language, because of so many things that these languages have in common, it will take less time and may be considered relatively easier. If, on the other hand, you're coming to English from a non-European language, it's simply going to take longer. The results can be spectacular. It just takes more input. So, for example, let's say someone is studying English and their native language is Arabic or Chinese. Then it's not going to be 1,000 or 2,000 hours. It's going to probably be twice or three times that much input needed to import the English language into your mind. Number four, embarrassment. Embarrassment is usually encountered at the point when you start speaking, particularly speaking to native speakers. If the language doesn't flow off your tongue easily and you make errors, you might find yourself embarrassed. Embarrassment does not help your language learning effort, and it certainly doesn't help your enjoyment. It takes time to overcome embarrassment. There are a couple of ways you can deal with it. One is to look at the circumstances of your embarrassment. Are you trying to talk before you have had a lot of input? Are you trying to produce language that you don't know yet? If that is the case, it may be prudent to de-emphasize trying to produce the language until you've had more input. Another way to deal with embarrassment is insight, that is, your understanding. Now, let's say, for instance, you need to use the English language. It's necessary. And you find yourself embarrassed because of mistakes. I would submit that simply understanding that your use of the language is necessary and that mistakes are normal should help you a lot with embarrassment. Basically, if you're doing the best you can, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. People make mistakes all the time. Number five, testing. Basically, there are two circumstances where you might be tested on your English language proficiency. One is a test that is required of you because you're applying for a job, applying for a position in a university, or applying for a scholarship. All of those circumstances could easily require you to demonstrate a certain level of proficiency in English. If one of those requirements is placed upon you, then just accept it. There's no way around it. It's necessary. However, a lot of people studying English are testing because they think it's necessary. They're taking online tests. They're submitting themselves for testing when it's not required. I recommend strongly against doing that. That behavior doesn't provide significant learning, and it can dramatically decrease your enjoyment. You may be much less satisfied with your program if you spend time testing yourself. When you see a video suggesting that you test your knowledge against a list of vocabulary words, I would scrupulously avoid that video. It doesn't help you. It isn't of any benefit. Avoid testing unless it is required of you. And number six, unnecessary corrections of your errors. We all make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. It's part of the process. Studies have been done to compare letting the errors go versus correcting them immediately. Evidence supports that it is far better to let your errors go So I would recommend, do not ask anyone to correct an error that you have made. Error corrections, if anything, is likely to decrease your satisfaction with your English language learning journey. I started by speculating that there may be something you need to change. And now I've given you a list of the factors to look at that will impact whether you're satisfied with your program or not. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.